And welcome everybody to episode 27 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I'm your host Aaron, and as always I'm here with my fellow host Christina, and this week we are staying with the ladies. It is a movie written by a woman for our category or theme, if you will, and this movie was written by a very, very notable writer in Nora Ephron. I've seen a few of her movies, haven't seen this one until now. One of four movies ever directed by Diane Keaton, the other three I have not heard of, and it is Hanging Up, the 2000s melodrama comedy, question mark? Comedies are usually funny, and this one, I'm not sure if it was, but we'll talk about that. Starring Diane Keaton, starring Lisa Kudrow and Meg Ryan, all playing sisters. Diane Keaton casting herself as a sister to Lisa Kudrow and Meg Ryan. I don't know the age difference, but it seems like that's a little different, but we'll get into all that and much more here. I'm going to go over to the reason that we're talking about Hanging Up today, which is my host, Christina. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm very excited to talk to you about this. I have not watched this movie in a long time. It was a little different watching it as an adult and someone that maybe has developed some taste over the years. It's still, I don't know, nostalgia got to me. I can relate a lot to the characters in this movie as far as a sibling relationship. So I think that's something that will always connect me to this movie, but I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. You know, nostalgia is real. And yeah, they don't make movies like this anymore. And I'm going to say thank God. This movie was very 90s, even though it was at the 2000s. But like the very sappy piano music that no matter what you're being shown in front of you, you're going to get a little sad and emotional. And then you're like, this isn't fair. Like I'm responding to like the tenors of this sad piano music right now. And it's not what's being shown. Not earned. But before we get into this movie, it's got a pretty simple plot, I would say, although confusing. So I'm very curious what IMDb has to say.
So IMDb says that a trio of sisters bond over their ambivalence towards the approaching death of their curmudgingly father, that doesn't even make sense, to whom none of them were particularly close.
Okay, well, that synopsis isn't what I saw in the movie. What do you think of that synopsis? We always rate the synopsises out of five stars.
The fact that you're telling me that these three sisters bonded over losing their father was not true, since you don't really see a lot of the other sisters in the movie.
So much phone conversation.
Well, I mean, the movie is called Hanging Up.
So we have to have a phone call conversation every three scenes.
Well, it was the year 2000. Like cell phones coming out was probably a really big deal. And they were like, oh my God, we have landlines and cell phones in our movie. Like we are cutting edge. You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Also, I just want to give you some facts real quick before we really jump in. Walter Matthau, who plays the father, was born in 1920. 26 years later, Diane Keaton was born in 1946. 15 years later, Meg Ryan was born in 1961. And 2 years later, Lisa Kudrow was born in 1963. So just throwing that out there as far as their age differences in real life.
Okay. And so like right away, I was very weirded out by that. That was distracting. I was like, okay, this will be a plot point. Walter Matthau's previous marriage or something, maybe when he was very young, he had Diane Keaton, then he like separated and like, but it's not. Like, I don't remember, at least recalling, was that a plot point in this movie of why
they are just full siblings that are just Diane Keaton, I guess, wanted to direct and be in the movie.
So imagine Diane Keaton directing this movie and being like, what do you mean? Of course I'm Lisa Kudrow's sister. Why wouldn't I be? Yeah, like everybody else on set is probably like, what the fuck? Why is she not playing like Walter Matthau's like younger wife or something? Or why is she playing her daughter?
Yeah, she could have been Lisa Kudrow's teen mother.
Yeah, yeah. Like that could have been an angle. Like Walter Matthau was a creep and creeped on some really young girl. And like,
or like similar to how Crazy Stupid Love, where we find out that like Emma Stone is really the daughter, but like they had her when they were in high school and then stayed together and then had their two other children.
Right. Like make it a plot point. It sticks out.
The year difference.
Yeah, they're not sisters. Like, no, they aren't. And I can't believe it was only a 15-year age difference. Like, that it's like, look at Lisa Kudrow today and look at Diane Keaton today and tell me they look like they ever were sisters.
I guess we can also talk about that. I believe Cloris Leachman was the mom.
Oh, that was Cloris Leachman, who I like to pretend. First of all, this is going to be all over the place today, as always. But I think particularly because the plot of this movie sucks. It is bullshit. Basically, it's a solo ride for Meg Ryan and Walter Matthau. Because the other two are like hardly in this movie. Lisa Kudrow is playing Phoebe from Friends as an actress. She did not change like her Phoebe acting to the literally.
She was actually even more annoying than Phoebe. Like she definitely, as an adult woman that she was playing, really played like, I'm the youngest sister and this is how I've acted since I was five. Like that right. was like, not,
yeah, character. None of us have progressed with our characters except for Meg Ryan, who's gonna take care of everything. Get it? She's the one taking care. So first of all, the synopsis said ambivalent. Meg Ryan was not ambivalent. Meg Ryan was there so damn much. And also
they're daily. She was basically doing it. This movie has so many themes because you have your relationship with your siblings. You have relationship with your parents, which now stems into, is it a good relationship? Is it a bad relationship? How do you feel now knowing that they're sick?
Yeah.
Then you have the whole caretaker thing and the burden of being the caretaker and not getting that support.
Yeah.
So which are all like really beautiful stories, but I feel like this movie like kept trying to get there and like never quite did.
It wouldn't pick a lane. It did not pick a lane. It tried to be in all of these while being melodramatic as fuck and trying to be a comedy at different points. Yeah, like these things on paper are very, you know, worthwhile themes to explore individually in films. The burden of the caregiver. And I mean, for, you know, without getting into too many personal details, it's like, I've seen firsthand, my mom has multiple siblings. I've seen what it's like when one sibling cares when there's a catastrophe, particularly a health catastrophe, and the others don't. I've seen what that looks like, and my mom has been the Meg Ryan character. So maybe I just have a little too much personal attachment to this, but I'm very sensitive towards this portrayal. Also, I'm very sensitive towards how dementia is portrayed in film, and with Walter Matthau dying 4 months after this movie was completed, it's a really kind of uncomfortable role to watch for me because I'm not sure how much Walter Matthau was acting. And, you know, if he wasn't, I feel that you're exploiting a dying man in a way for a pretty terrible film at that. So like double offensive because Walter Matthau's performance in this is awesome, but I don't think it's a performance. And that brings me to kind of a weird, like ethical, like, we shouldn't have had him in this role so close to his death. He was sick for a while.
Was he sick in real life?
I mean, I don't remember. I was like 11 years old when he died. So it's like, I honestly don't. First of all, like Walter Matthau's never really been a young man. Even when they showed his pictures, like as a young man, he looked very old. And like I've seen him in other movies. Like he's never been a young man. Like even when he was a young man, he's always kind of looked old, but he looked on death's door in this movie. I don't think they were putting makeup on him. The scene, one of my favorite dramatic scenes is definitely when he looks at his hands though.
Yeah.
And so I'll get to a positive here. When he looks at his hands and says he doesn't recognize his hands, that I've done a lot of work with Alzheimer's patients, and this is a very real interaction or real kind of real experience you see individuals with the disease go through. And like when he was bringing up old girlfriends and things like that, like that's very accurate. I get this movie was made 20, 21 years ago. So like there's been a ton of advancement in Alzheimer's awareness, research, how we understand the disease. So I might be bringing that a little bit into this too, but like those parts are like very, like, you know, like I've worked with patients where they've been next to their wives before talking about their girlfriend from high school as their wife was right next to them and saying, I can't wait to go out with her tonight, and being dead serious about it and being like, oh, the sky's beautiful shade of purple today. So like those like offhanded remarks, like I really bought that. It was how the family would respond to that that is like hugely problematic for me. Because they were continually being like, that's not who you're with now. You're alone. You're all alone. You're old. Like, and it's just like, those are about as opposite of ways to deal with someone with this disease as possible. Like you are basically forcing them to go through it cognitively over and over again each time. It's like, they're like reminding him his wife left him and like things like that. It's just like things that like are frankly like abusive towards some. So that was really hard for me to get through.
Yeah, like, there was just a lot of, I don't actually even know where to start with this. I'm going to start with Meg Ryan's character in itself and then maybe transition into her relationship with her father. I think that maybe that would make the most sense.
Yeah, it works.
So Meg Ryan's character owns and runs a company that plans events and prides themselves on handling everything so that the event like goes off flawlessly. Like that's like their motto. The whole time, Meg Ryan is a hot mess express. And I get it, irony. This woman runs this company, but she's a hot mess herself. But when you look at her like $4 million house she lives in, you're like, oh, she must actually be successful. So that tells me she knows how to run a business. So why can't she fucking handle anything? Like she can't plan a party. She can't answer a phone without fumbling. She can't drive a car. She can't get a cup of coffee. And I get it that she's dealing with the stress, but it was like she literally had no part of her life together.
Right.
I don't even know why they made her have a child because he just did nothing besides going, do you like my new life? I don't even understand the point of him being in the movie.
Was that the same child from the pinata scene?
Yeah. I'm having a hard time with her relationship with her dad because as she's in the hospital with him, watching him, you know, fade away, we're getting different memories. And it's kind of like, well, are you missing your dad because you had such a great relationship? Are you struggling with the fact that like you didn't have a good relationship? Because we like go back and forth and it kind of seems like either he was struggling with early onset or he was struggling with alcohol, but it was never really like, there was never like a good memory. So it was kind of like, what are we doing there?
The flashbacks were so odd for a few reasons. For one, I like that Meg Ryan's hair just gets shorter as she gets more into the future. If this
I love Meg Ryan. Like her hair in this movie was fucking peak 2000. Great. All, like it was great.
All three, honestly, I thought were great. The early 90s look was really
so good.
I liked it quite a bit. She had the nice, like, just, you know, white tank top with the long pant. Like, I'm just like, man, this is such
the fashion and the looks in this movie were on point.
Yeah, I'll give them that for sure. But yeah, the flashbacks, they chose to use 4 months from now dead Walter Matthau for the flashbacks also. So in the flashbacks, I was like, I don't think he's supposed to have early onset Alzheimer's, but Walter Matthau has dementia. So I believed in like...
Well, I looked at it. He died from having a heart attack. There was no mention of dementia.
Yeah, but I think there was some cognitive slipping towards the end there as well, most likely. And it's just like, we see these flashbacks and it's like, this seems like an old man with dementia the whole time. And that was like confusing to me. I don't think that was the idea though. I think this was supposed to be just like a shitty man throughout his life.
Like, was he supposed to be shitty or was he just like so sad that his wife left him and he like never got past that?
Didn't he like flirt with a little kid at the pinata scene?
No.
Wasn't there like a weird, I swear there was a weird like,
he asking why all the midgets were there because they were children in masks, which was also not appropriate to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had like a weird kind of just like some like weird moments. He broke the pinata. I don't know why he was there.
Okay, so the first one we have is they flash back to 1988. Meg Ryan, all the sisters are there. The house is in disarray. They mention that he had a suicide attempt, which they kind of just gloss over. Like,
I did not catch that.
Literally, we're like, yeah, dad tried to kill himself and like kind of kept driving, like just fucking casually mentioned it. He like tried to overdose on pills and like there's the house is in disarray. So they're going, they're like, we can't even believe we have to be here because dad's not even, literally, Diane Keaton, Lucy Kudrow. Dad didn't even decorate the house. These are adult women like bitching about going to their ailing father who is clearly not over the fact that his wife left them, that just tried to kill himself. And they're bitching as grown women that he did not decorate the house for Christmas. So that's like, understand the dynamic there. And we just have this weird thing where, you know, Meg Ryan's like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, I didn't really mean it. But like, he still seemed kind of off. And then she's like, do you want to go get a Christmas tree? And he was like, a small child was like, yeah, let's go get a Christmas tree. And you're like, I don't think he's all the way there, so I'm not sure what this is, but like, you got this really good memory. So after that one, we kind of also get a glance of like Meg Ryan's husband doesn't really seem to like her father because every time the phone rings, she's convinced he died in the hospital. And he's like, you know, I don't even know why you care. And he knows what he did. So I'm like, okay, so now we get the memory of 1993 where Meg Ryan suddenly has a five-year-old. He wasn't even with anybody in 1988.
Or pregnant.
Goes forward 5 years and now has a husband and a five-year-old because I believe they specifically say that he's five.
Yeah.
So... And then they're having this birthday party around Halloween. Only Lisa Kudrow's character is there as the sister. So it kind of just shows how Diane Keaton's still like in her own thing.
Right.
Diane, you know, you're like, oh, okay, this is the moment we're going to find out. And then like Lisa Kudrow and Meg Ryan are just shit talking Diane Keaton,
Georgia,
which is like such a sister thing. We can get into the sister dynamic in a little bit. But all of a sudden, Walter Matthau stumbles into the house, I guess drunk. I don't know, causes a scene, like breaks shit, yells at the kids, knocks over the pinata. The kid cries about his cake. And then Meg Ryan just starts flipping out and was like, you need to leave. And he says that your mother was right and we should have thrown you back, which I don't even think I like get that. I'm like, throw her back where? She's not a fish. You can't throw her back in the ocean. Because she was like, what did you just say? And he's like, your mother was right about it. We should have thrown you back. So then it was like the big emotional thing of like, yeah, mom was right about you. We should throw you out. And like the big mom, like, so he leaves. And then the husband's like, he will never be allowed in this house again. And I literally, and I was like, I mean, it's not like anybody let him in this time. And the bro just walked in.
Yeah, I didn't know why he was mad. Maybe because he didn't get invited to the birthday party.
I don't know.
They never explained it. And I kept forgetting that it was three sisters because of how little Diane Keaton is in this movie, except for her like really boring speech scene. It's just like clearly Diane Keaton doesn't like have a really strong, confident grasp on directing. There's a lot of different like kind of hand wavy moments in this where it's like they've all wanted him to die the whole time. And I think that was like the main theme of the movie, was it's like when kids like are kind of looking forward to their parent not being there, and then the time comes and they realize it's hard. And
we have no idea what his relationship is with Diane Keaton's character. We have no idea what his relationship is with Lisa Kudrow's character because they did not show us.
No, they don't.
We have no idea what his relationship is with Meg Ryan because it didn't make any sense. So right. It's like, I don't actually know how to feel about this.
Also,
if he was drunk or if he was having dementia, to me, that's not him just being an asshole. Like, I think they tried to play it off like he's like this shitty father. Right. To me, he's in pain. He's sick. He needs help. Like,
They didn't show us that if that is the case. So, like, if that was the intention, that wasn't the result of what we were shown. And the other thing that's, there's not just the other thing, there's so many other things. All of these daughters became exceptional in their careers. Exceptional. Like, the best wedding or event planner of all time, even though she has no fucking control over anything, can hardly even pick up a phone. But she's, like, the best of all time, has, like, this perfect house, perfect like life somehow. We've got the perfect failing soap opera actress, but she's still like a soap opera actress and like could not be more of an actress in how she acts in Phoebe Buffay. I mean, Lisa Kudrow's character, whatever it was. I don't even remember her name. I literally was like, she just got off the set of Friends and she's going to do this movie in the next studio over. And she's not going to change a thing about her performance.
What about when she was like, oh, I'm going to go visit dad in the hospital, but I'm going to be wearing a cast because my character has a cast. And then they're watching her on TV with a cast on. Like, that's how that works. It's not in production of television.
Yeah, it's really like weird. It was trying to be funny, I guess. The comedy straight up just doesn't work in this movie. And then there's very weird tonal shifts to like serious melodramatic acting and sad music, piano music Yeah, it was just, this movie was bizarre. Like, I just did not cry. Didn't even come close to crying. This movie just, I was like, kind of just befuddled by it. I don't know how else to really.
I mean, there was just so much you could, like, basically it was always Meg Ryan. It's almost to the point where I don't really even know why she had sisters because
she could get mad at people for not helping her.
Right. But like, they didn't even really, in my opinion, explore that enough because she kept trying to do everything on her own. There was like a few times where like, she didn't even like call her sisters and really ask for help. And like Diane Keaton, Georgia, was always like, dad's going to be fine. Like at one point she's like, dad's just like never going to die. That was a sentence a grown woman said. Like, dad's probably
38-year-old grown woman too. Like, right. Why did they want her to fail in her career so bad? Lisa Kudrow and Meg Ryan really wanted Diane Keaton to get fired from her magazine job. And when they found out she was starting her own like Oprah style magazine called Georgia. First of all, I'm like, is it that easy to just start your own magazine? Like when you're like failing. This was right when Oprah magazine started, O magazine. So it was like clearly like Diane Keaton just like saw that and was like,
just like wanted to be Oprah.
I'm Oprah.
of. We never got, like, I mean, I got the sister dynamic because I have two sisters.
Yeah, I got what they're going for, but not from this movie.
Right. But if you don't have siblings and you didn't grow up with that already, like, my husband's an only child. So he's like, I didn't get any of that because you're not shown any of it. You don't have any flashbacks to them.
Right.
As children, you don't see really like the relationship. All you know is that Diane Keaton is self-centered, Lisa Kudrow is self-centered and like kind of immature and dramatic, and like Meg Ryan's a hot mess express, and they kind of like don't really ever click, but like Lisa Kudrow and Meg Ryan kind of click, and they kind of gang up on Diane Keaton because Diane Keaton doesn't live here. I don't really know, like there's some weird animosity there that we don't know why it's there.
Besides, I mean, maybe Diane Keaton's not connected to them because she's 18 years older than them, so she never lived with them as a child. Like literally, like she was out of the house by the time the next one was born. She was in college, so like maybe that was like just very clever writing from Nora Ephron, where she's like, they're so disconnected because they never were truly connected because they're 20-year age difference. Like,
so then on top of all of this, where you have this weird dysfunctional sibling relationship where there's like the jealousy and the rivalry and just like the annoyingness of one-upping each other and I'm doing this and you're not, you also have the failing health of your dad, and then kind of just like gloss over that mom up and leaves, and now to the point where like they don't even really talk to mom anymore. And in one of the flashbacks, we see Meg Ryan go to talk to mom, just like, you know, can you at least just like check up on dad? Again, he tried to kill himself. And she's like, well, I believe her exact quotes was, well, he didn't succeed, did he?
Right.
Like, as in implying like, you know, he can never finish anything that he starts, which is like, this is not an appropriate way to discuss this topic.
But this is not like an example to like bring up how he doesn't follow through. Like,
finally,
glad he didn't. Like, this isn't the time to like prove you can follow through on
it. It was the year 2000, so we're gonna take it as a grain of salt. And then we have like the Kramer versus Kramer moment of
Hell yes. I thought this too.
Giving you a call back, it's always you that brings it up, but I'm gonna do it. Of Cloris Leachman just being like, you know, I just realized I didn't want to be a mom. So then it's like, if you're watching this maybe younger, you're looking at this woman and you're like, how dare you say that? Like, how could you say that? And then like as an adult woman, it's just, I don't think she's right, but I can at least see where she's coming from. Unfortunately, you just don't know that you don't want to be a mom until you are one and you realize it's not for you. And then what do you do? What do you do with that?
Yeah, but that is literally the themes explored in Kramer versus Kramer. So I don't know if like Nora Ephron was writing this movie with like Kramer versus Kramer on in the background. And she like looked up at that scene. She's it sunk in osmosis, but she straight up stole that theme straight from Kramer versus Kramer. I think anybody who's seen Kramer versus Kramer and sees this movie makes that connection. And if that was intentional, that is even more gagmatic than if it was on accident. If she intentionally is trying to like make a callback there, because the guy was like, oh, Meryl Streep's character.
Might as well just cast Meryl Streep in the movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, closely, like, but I guess Meryl Streep's probably younger than Diane Keaton, so she would have had to play a sister too. Like, but it's just like Diane Keaton. This was the last movie Diane Keaton directed, and that adds up.
Yeah, but it's just, this movie's only an hour and 35 minutes, and I feel like there's deep shit that was explored here that never got explored. So it was like, you either need to cut out the shit that you're piling on, or you need to make the movie longer. So now you have these three girls who are, I guess, abandoned by their mother. P.S. The other two don't seem to give a shit. Diane Keaton and Pedro don't even mention mom. Like, they don't even care.
No.
Walter Matthau is heartbroken that she up and left. But we see them argue like one time. So like, okay, so couples are never allowed to argue. That automatically leads to divorce.
Apparently.
Got to the point where she just couldn't mother anymore, that she just up and leaves her entire family and like doesn't seem like she even cares about her husband anymore.
Meryl Streep did it.
Yeah, just there's so much unpack here. And it's just like, how did any of these people grow up to have like any sort of functional relationships? Because they all seem fucked up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is one of these movies that I can definitely see how you seeing it for your emotionally mature. You can be like, oh, I'm understanding these themes. I'm understanding what they're saying. I'm getting this. But then once you're an adult, you're like, this is not how adults behave. Adults don't vehemently go out and be like, I realized I didn't want to be a mother. Like, they don't say it like that. They don't, like, they find ways to, like,
they do, but like, my God, do you say it to your kid?
No, that's what I'm saying.
In that way, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Or like, as your kid, who that's their father, is being like, he attended suicide. Oh, he didn't complete it. Like, that's something someone says in a movie that isn't like,
I'm sure people have said it, but they're probably also really crappy people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I thought it was funny her way of training him.
That's how she is. Even if that's how she is, she's a terrible person who didn't love him and didn't want to be around her family.
She had to live in a weird house with like trees in it.
But it was like, we just never explored that. So my thing, if we're going to drop this heavy thing,
explore it.
Otherwise, right. She should have just fell in love with somebody else or whatever. But like the fact that she just like doesn't give a crap. I don't think anybody wakes up and like stops giving a crap about their family. I'm sure there's like it takes time.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of trauma involved in this movie. I think it was just like over. There was so many traumatic events and traumatic things that were said that were just like in passing and overlooked. And I'm like, oh right. My God, how can you?
I just can't imagine too many adult children are going to their divorced mother and being like, can you just stop by for like lunch? You're an adult. You're not seven anymore. Like you're an adult. We got divorced. It's over. No, I can't stop by for lunch. We're not in a relationship anymore. I'm sorry.
Right. You're and I'm sorry seven. That your father with dementia doesn't realize that. Because that was her other thing. Like, dad keeps wanting me to call, and then I'm just going to have to call her, and she's not going to come, and I'm going to have to break his heart. And I'm like, he probably is. If he truly has dementia, he probably isn't going to remember that he asked you that. Or all you have to say is she's on her way, and he'll probably keep asking you, and you can keep saying it, so you don't have to crush him. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, that didn't, like, you didn't even have to call her. Because if he's that unaware, you don't have to break his heart. You don't have to hurt him like this.
And routinely through this movie, exactly as I was kind of talking about earlier, routinely through this movie, they are breaking his heart. They're like fucking with his brain by like telling him like, you're not with this woman you're talking about right now anymore. Like, no, that's not where you're at. It's just like, your mom left you. Don't you remember she left you? It's like, great. Have him continually process this dramatic thing that his brain can't even handle. That's like, even 20 years ago, I think, we knew not to be.
Happened. He couldn't handle it. He probably turned to alcohol, maybe a little bit of drugs, and then he probably got like alcohol-induced dementia, which is probably the timeline. Not that we know, because it wasn't really shown to us very well. But no, that's what happened.
I think we're giving it too much credit there. I really do. I don't believe that this movie was trying to hint that the whole time he had early onset dementia, because they would have said it out loud and shown behind him like a memory clinic or something. This movie is not that smart to where it would have been like, wow, we are seeing these flashbacks and little did we know early. No, because he was acting the same crazy as he was on his deathbed. It was just like we were dealing with a dying man as the actor of a dying man. Like, yeah. Where would you like to go next?
I feel like we've covered a decent amount. I guess I will say that what drew me to this movie originally, and again, I haven't watched this maybe since I was a kid, so clearly a lot of these went over my head, but my biggest thing that connected me is I am one of three sisters. I'm actually the oldest, but I related to Meg Ryan's character the most because I'm the sister that tends to do everything. And especially when we were younger, there's a 3-year difference between me and my middle sister and a 6-year difference between me and my youngest sister. So there was a big gap where like I was in my mid-20s where like I had my shit together and those two were like hot messes. Yeah. So it was like, I was always the one taking care of them. Like I would help them find their part-time jobs. Yeah. I mean, there were times where like, I remember us like talking in the car and we would talk about like dysfunctional members of my family. And my mom would say like, well, what would happen if like I was a mess and I wouldn't be able to take care of you? And I remember my youngest sister being like, Christina would have just done it. Christina would have never let what happened to our family members happen because she would have handled it. Right. So it's like, I get like, I'm most likely going to be the caretaker if anything happens to my parents. And as much as I love my sisters, because we definitely have a way better relationship than this, I definitely saw tendencies where the one where Lisa Kudrow just drops off her dog. Like, you can just handle it. I love my darling sister, but that's kind of how she is. Like, oh, hey, I decided to like be gone all day. Can you just like handle this responsibility that I have that I just blew off today? And it's just like, sure, yeah, I don't have anything else going on. So it's like, I related to that kind of relationship and probably most likely being the one that's going to be taking the lead. Now, not necessarily that's going to happen because obviously we're all adults now. Mm-hmm. But when I first watched this movie, that was my connection to it.
Yeah. And that was like my connection. I also kind of feel I've fallen into that role. I don't have three sisters. I have one other brother. But I mean, when medical emergencies have come up in my family, I've been the one who has to acknowledge it. I've been the one who has to make the actions on it. And I know that feeling of resentment I've had towards members of my family who didn't step up. And then once I stepped up, they get conditioned into you stepping up. So I get that. That is a really worthy theme to explore. They just explored it in a very ham-fisted kind of way to where like that should have been the focus of the movie. They should have eliminated these other branches. It basically was a movie focusing on Meg Ryan, but they tried to make it a movie about three sisters, even though the other two sisters were hardly in it because one was directing and was over her head directing. And the other one was working on Friends at the time and probably taking off nights to come over and do a few scenes as a dumb actress. Like, so as a result, it's like Meg Ryan's the only one who didn't have anything better to do. And so she could be like, it's like, she kind of filled her role both in and out of the movie as like they try to go these other directions and don't explore that.
Because really, we only see the all three of them together at in the timeline at the end. Otherwise, it's just one flashback. So basically,
and lots of phone calls, as I said, lots of phone calls.
At the end of the movie, they finally, Meg Ryan gets the phone call that he's in a coma after Diane Keaton throws herself an actual pity party that her father's dying, even though up until now she's done nothing.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Like how I think both Lisa Kudrow and Diane Keaton's character at different points kind of frame themselves as like being so affected by this, their father's issue, but they do it in such an over the top, unbelievable kind of way, particularly with Diane Keaton's character, where she's like making it the entire crux of her speech. Like in front of Meg Ryan, I'm like,
I think it is believable though. Like, I know people who would have done something like that.
Okay, maybe I just have the movie at this point. So, like, I was looking.
A woman I work with, when her mother passed, her sister made like a whole thing about like not being mentioned enough, like in the eulogy. Like, she's like, what? You know what I mean? Like, people do make about them. You know what I mean? Like, my father's dead. Like,
I guess you're right. That's me. I'll retract that critique. Yeah.
I think it was dramatic because she did it so publicly.
Yeah.
People definitely do things like that. Like, they definitely act so disinterested, don't help at all, and then it's woe is me because.
Yeah, I do. I will actually kind of back down on that critique a little bit because it does seem often that the people who respond most to a traumatic event often are the people who aren't as involved as. Like, you know, like Meg Ryan was the one who made the least big deal about this while dealing with it the most, which I actually do think is pretty realistic. Often the people looking for the attention, the pity weren't even there for.
Lisa Kudrow was like, well, what about me? And not even what about her feelings about her father? Like, literally, what about me? Like, you guys are fighting about dad and you're not even including me like that one Halloween. What are you saying? Like, as a grown up, like your father's literally dying. He is in the hospital. You guys are getting a phone call that he's in a coma.
Right.
And like, you're literally like, you guys are arguing too much without including me in the argument was her issue. Not like,
she's supposed to be like a 30-year-old woman at this point too. And like, she gets excited about in this movie is when someone in the hospital recognizes her from her soap opera. I think she was just playing like an over the top self-involved actress, and Diane Keaton as the director's like wearing her director hat, I imagine, getting off her director chair because she's a director, Diane Keaton, director. And she's like, all right, you're playing a self-involved actress. See, like, she's like smoking a pipe, probably watch some Howard Hawks and Howard Hughes movies. Like, she's like, I'm a movie maker. Like, and you play an actress who's starving for attention. Got it, action. I think a better director could have made this story really heartwarming, and maybe the writing also has something to do with this, but Nora Ephron's written a bunch of great stuff, so I'm wondering if it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, but
because directors matter. Where you thought it was going to be, like, at one point, Lisa Kudrow, it's like, you know, Meg Ryan's character name was Eve. Like, you know, Eve, this isn't only happening to you. He's our dad, too. And then, like, within the same sentence, like, is just talking about herself again.
Yeah. I was like, we have a moment here.
Right. We're having a moment where it's like, you know, I'm acting this way because I'm really afraid to lose him. So I'm just projecting none of that. Literally just like, you know, it's not just happening to you. But also, can you, like, believe that woman recognized me?
Right. Like, that was the whole movie kept doing that, where it go like melodramatic to comedy. I think even in Pinata's scene, there are a couple like points of comedy trying to be in there. But the whole time we're having like a early dementia, you know, Walter Matthau.
Or alcoholic rage. We don't know. Whatever,
a sick man walking out being like, oh, I heard you. You don't want me. No, you don't.
Like, and then they let him leave. So how did he get there? Did he drive? So now you're going to let this guy get behind the wheel again? Like, what?
And then, like, you try to get all these parents to keep their kids there. It's like, no, you let those parents leave immediately as this drunk, sick man just came in and put them all in danger. You don't say, oh, stay. Like, everything's...
Well, as you're having, like, a nervous breakdown, rightfully so, in your kitchen. You know, and of course, like, as predictable as it ends, he does wind up passing, and, like, you know, the three of them all cry and they all mourn over it. And at the end, you know, they work on their relationship, but it's kind of like,
why
you didn't have an attachment to their relationship. There was never a point where their relationship was good and then it fell out. They were always kind of just like,
and there was never a point where I was rooting for Walter Matthau to live because he seemed to be a terrible bastard his entire life.
Well, so. But like kind of like not, I don't even know, but it seemed like they were only like made up at the end and hung out because they shared DNA and not because they actually give a shit about each other and have any sort of like want to foster that relationship. It's basically like, we're sisters. Our mom left us and our dad died, so we should probably hang out.
Yeah, it's like nothing's more caring than caring out of obligation.
Right. And it doesn't seem like it was a thing where they genuinely tried to like foster a real
connection. Like you're supposed to. Like right. We're sisters. We're supposed to be close. So
right.
Let's be close.
Exactly. Like as I, again, I have two sisters, like, and my relationship with them is far better than this one. So I can't, God. Right. And I can only say that like, there were points in our lives where I know I would have taken point on this and take charge of the situation, but like, They're all very capable people. Now I think if something like this would happen, I probably still would do most of it, but not be anywhere near the point where Meg Ryan was.
Right. And so, the things we're understanding, relating to, now we're talking to, are not a result of anything we saw in this movie and how it was presented. Right. So it's like, these are just thoughts we've had because we've been in these roles in our lives. So we've thought about it happening in the future.
Right.
Like, it's not anything I saw in this movie and being like, oh, well, Meg Ryan couldn't even pick up a phone because she was so, like, no, I didn't like that. This movie taught me nothing. This movie really taught me nothing except that Diane Keaton shouldn't direct, which she hasn't since.
And that Walter Matthau was still pretty incredible up until he died.
Walter Matthau by far, I thought Meg Ryan's performance was also very good, but my
I'm pretty sure this is the first Meg Ryan movie I've ever seen, like that I can really remember. And I love her hair in this movie. She's beautiful.
All three hairs were great for me. You know, Meg Ryan was okay. Lisa Kudrow, I just maybe watched too much Friends, but I was like,
yo. She's a soap opera actress. That's what she did.
She played, I think her sister Ursula in Friends was a soap opera actress. So, you know, enough digesting Friends here, which I could easily do. Any day of the week, I could digest Friends. Yeah, like it's interesting because we hardly said any of the characters' names during this, which is another.
I do know them. It's Georgia, Eve, and Maddie.
Okay, I did not know Lisa Kudrow's character's name. I knew Georgia because they had the big Georgia like magazine behind her when she was doing her horrible speech.
I think you're ready to give your closing thoughts and ratings. I think you're ready.
Absolutely. I wish that I had Walter Matthau's ailment at the end of this movie, just so I could forget this movie. I did not like this one too much. It was fun to talk about for sure. There was so much to pick on with this movie, but that's not what I'm rating. As always, if I was rating the conversation here, this is a 4.5 out of 5 stars, this movie. However, I am not rating this conversation. I'm rating the movie. It started out, I really liked the premise, and I was like, this is such a really solid premise with some great themes to explore. I'm going to like this. And then after 20 minutes, it did not get better. The score was like cloyingly manipulative. It was making me like sniffle when I wasn't sad, but I was just hearing like dulcet piano tones and tonal shifts left and right. Walter Matthau's performance was good, but I'm not sure if he was performing. Again, I think they might have just been running the camera and being like, let's film this guy. And I didn't like this. This is one of my least favorite movies we've covered so far on this podcast. Melissa, I really am upset with you for picking Hanging Up. I know you didn't know better, but God, Melissa, this is your fault. This is all your fault. I forgive you, but I'm upset. 1 out of 5 stars for me.
Okay.
This is a real problematic movie. I am very, very oversensitive. I am aware of how dementia is portrayed in film. I didn't think it was portrayed great here. And especially if there were any hints of dementia from Walter Matthau, I get he died from a heart attack. There's an ethical kind of weirdness when someone's that close to death playing someone who every other character in the movie is rooting to die. It's a little bit creepy. So just all the way around wasn't funny. Weird dramatic moments and didn't really explore the characters. So you gotta beat this one up. 1 out of 5.
All right. So as a young teenager, I actually really enjoyed this movie. And I think it was just fun because I was like, I have two sisters and this is a movie that's about sisters and Meg Ryan's haircut's really cute. And oh, how sad it is that they're losing their father. And I hope that my sisters and I wouldn't act like this. And that's kind of like my nostalgia. Like, this movie's so good. You guys should watch it. It's this heartwarming story. Rewatching it as a grown-up, it's kind of a huge dumpster fire of just like, you guys hit on serious things that would have all made wonderful movies. And then you just didn't do anything with them. You know, the relationship between the sisters was not really explored. You're just supposed to get that, like, they're not close and like two of them kind of seem obnoxious, but it's kind of like, why are they that way? That might've been fun. Or like, were they ever close? You have the father that is dying, but we don't actually know if he was a good man or not, or if he was just really sad and like took to alcohol. We have the relationship with the mother that was kind of really hard. So I feel like there's a lot of things here that they touched on and didn't go deep enough that kind of ruined it. I'm going to put a little bit extra on here just for my nostalgia, but I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 because it's not very good. Like, really, like, it's Meg Ryan's haircut is probably a part of this rating, but it's still something. You know what? Maybe take it as a lesson that if you have relationships with your siblings and they're not great and that's something you want to explore and improving, take the opportunity to do so. If you have a relationship with your parent that maybe you can, you know, focus on maybe repairing, that maybe you should before it's too late. Maybe that could be the greater theme we can take out of this. I'm also a real big fan, though, of people are crapping all over your life. You don't need them, even if you're family. So kind of take that. If you feel like you can mend the relationship, do so. If not, make your peace with whatever you want. And that's my philosophical way to end this. Oh, our average rating is a 1.5.
Which I believe is our lowest of the year.
Is it?
It's got to be close. I do not remember us both having a
B movie is still a 1.
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm okay with the B movie being the base level.
I don't know if we're getting worse than a B movie.
Oh, my God. And just real quick, Jerry Seinfeld has signed on for a new Netflix movie about an unfrosted Pop-Tart and the life of an unfrosted Pop-Tart. So we got the Pop-Tart movie coming to Netflix soon. God damn you, Jerry Seinfeld.
So next week, the theme is a sport film about a sport you do not follow. It has been recommended to us through the grapevine to do A League of Their Own, which I have not actually seen all the way through.
Wow.
And I think it's fair to say that Aaron and I do not follow softball regularly.
Well, it's baseball. It's a women's baseball team.
Okay, so I don't follow that either.
Yeah, I don't follow women's baseball. I do follow baseball slightly, but I'm going to allow it. I have also not seen this. This is one of like probably 10 to 15 like pretty major blind spots.
Yeah, that's why I was pretty excited to include this one, because this is a must see. Aaron, anything else you want to say to wrap it up?
No, I'm just looking forward to forgetting this movie, which will be very easy. It is very forgettable. I don't plug my Letterboxd often on here. Thank you, Brooks. INCUBROOKS on Letterboxd, though. My review for this movie, it was, I think I gave it a 1.5 out of 5 because I was less angry than at the end of this conversation. So I gave it 1.5. And my review was, so like, it took me a little while to digest this one, several days. I watched this movie ago, and it's really, the anger has set in more as I've gotten further away. Like, I can't believe this is a real movie trying to make real points. It kind of makes me want to go back and rate this even lower. I'm getting more. So I'm looking forward to forgetting about this and moving on to next week. Next week, I think, is going to be a way better movie. I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me. Like, I think this is our second Tom Hanks movie.
All right, guys, I'm going to close this out today since Aaron is broken over this movie. So for Aaron and Christina, thanks for listening and keep digesting cinema.